Hello and welcome. If this is the first time that you listen to my podcast, thank you very much and welcome. If you listened to my first episode and you came back for a second one, thank you very much and welcome back. Last week we talked about what makes humans so special. We explore the different theories and we came up with the conclusion, at least I came up with the conclusion, I don't know if you believed it or not, that what made us so special was a mutation that happened in our brains in at a certain time in the past. I have to give some perspective on this. There were many different species of humans at the same time that this happened. Homo erectus, who was the first, we can say, the ancestor of all human species that were interacting and living at the same time in that time, came out of Africa and spread in Eurasia and Africa too, and it evolved into different species of humans, one of them Neanderthals, another one a tiny little species called Homo floresiensis in the Isle of Flowers in South Asia, which was a tiny little, they call it a hobbit. Very diverse, it was a very diverse group of humans that lived in that time, but in one of them that lived in Africa, in one little tiny branch of that huge human tree family, one of them evolved a mutation in their brains that made them able to think in a different way. And that tiny little group of hominids moved out of Africa and conquered the world. Not just Eurasia and Africa like their cousins. They moved all over the globe and they changed the globe. They hunted big prey. They moved to the top of a food chain. They started to create arts. They started to create new forms of cooperation based on ideologies, on ideas, on stories that they came up with in their big brains, in their big brains with new pathways, and they could communicate in detail all these ideas and all these new imagined realities that were not visible or tangible. These humans, because of this, because of being able to believe in the same things that were being able to communicate to each other and cooperate based on that, they conquered the world. I want to stress the fact that there were hominids like the Neanderthals with bigger brains, and all our cousins, all the species living at the same time in the planet, they all have big brains and they all have small stomachs. They all hunted. But it was in this tiny little branch of a tree that this mutation happened. Why? We don't know. Science hasn't gone there. Actually, science cannot say why. Science says that mutations appear at random, and then they are useful or not. Some mutations are not useful and the species that mutates in a certain way dies out because that mutation is not advantageous. And other mutations are useful and that species with natural selections comes, survives better because of that mutation. That's what science says. So why this mutation happened in our brains and made us so different from the other hominids? We don't know. But it happened. Now, one main effect, as I said, was that we were able to imagine things. Imagination is so important for us humans. Just think about the effects on imagination on art, but not just on art. Imagination has a big, big effect on science. Einstein was able to imagine scenarios that made him come up with formulas and equations for his theories. He stressed the importance of imagination for science. So imagining things that are not real, and I air quotes this real, because we're going to talk about now about realities now. Imagining these things that are not real and being able to communicate them, it's what makes us who we are and what makes us so successful. Now, one big side effect of this new ability that we have, this new interconnectivity in our brain, this mutation, was that from that moment on, we live in different levels of reality, and we interact with different levels of reality like no other animal does. For animals, reality is what is in the physical world. They react to hunger, they stay away from pain, they fight for a mate, they hunt when they're hungry, or they fly from predators. That's it. They don't, there's no subjective, there's no, communication is based on, hey, danger, something's coming. Hey, let's hunt together. Some sounds, there's communication in the animal world, but it's basic and it's oriented towards survival and towards the physical world. There's nothing else. They rest when they are tired, they sleep when they want to sleep, they hunt when they're hungry, they drink water when they're thirsty, and they stop eating when they are sick or they're gonna die. There has to be something that makes an animal stop eating. They don't eat because they're fasting for Lent or Ramadan, right? They don't have those ideas that makes them stop something that it's necessary for their survival because of an idea. No, they only stop eating when they're sick or when there's no food. So animals lived in the objective reality. We live in three different levels of reality. That is a result of this mutation that happened in our brains and that made us so successful. Success, yeah, success. And it's the main success in cooperating is the main side effect, is the main effect of this mutation, thinking and imagining. But there's side effects, and we're going to talk about today of one of them. What happens when we live in three different realities? Well, first of all, the first reality that we lived in was the physical reality, the reality that we've always lived in, that we're hungry and we hunt, we eat, we sleep, we mate, we reproduce, we stay away from pain, we fight over a mate. That has been modified a little bit, but it's still there. Now, society and all these other two realities that come on top of this one have framed these basic biological things, but they're still there. Also, reality, objective reality, is the reality that is tangible, measurable. So nobody can say that ice is hot, ice is cold. Nobody can say that, I don't know, sky is green. No, the sky is blue. Nobody can say that 2 + 2 = 4. No, 2 + 2 = 4. So there's objective, measurable, tangible reality. And yes, we live in that one. We also have a second level of reality, which is called subjective reality. This reality is what we experience inside ourselves, and it changes from person to person. I'm going to put an example as a nurse that I see every day. A broken bone is an objective reality. And broken bones are really painful. Now, the way people experience that pain is totally different from person to person. You might see people with a broken, big broken bone and not taking any pain medication or taking very little pain medication and being okay with that. And you see people with a headache that want high doses of opioids. And it's not because they're seeking the drug, like some people might say, It's because they are in pain, and their tolerance to pain is different, and their experience of pain is different. And you're taught in nursing school, and I think medical school too, that pain is not measurable. It's the fifth vital sign, but it's not something that you can measure. You ask the patient, and the patient will tell you how much pain they have from 1 to 10. And you cannot question that, because pain is subjective. It's something that is real. Is a reality, but it's different from person to person, and it depends on the person. Some people have some trouble differentiating one from another, and that's because we live all these realities that we live in, they're not separated, they're not clear to us. We are surrounded by them, and we treat them like, sometimes we treat them with objectivity when it's subjective, sometimes we treat it subjective when it's really objective, and so on. The third reality, before we get into the interconnectivity of realities, the third reality is the intersubjective reality. And this one is specific to us because of this way that we have of imagining things and created things that are not real in a physical way or in a simply subjective way. Those intersubjective realities are more complex, and sometimes that's the hardest to realize. That's the hardest one that people struggle with. Like, if I tell you that money is an intersubjective reality, you're gonna say, but what? Money is real. If I go to the bank, I get money. If I buy something in the store, they will take my money. Yes, because everybody now believes in money. But there was a time when people didn't have money, and they used other means of exchanging products and exchanging services. It was way more difficult because you couldn't track the demand for services or products, or if there was an overabundance of wheat, so wheat was cheaper. So anyways, there was nothing to compare products and services against. That's when money came. Money started like something tangible, like gold or silver, which were metals that signify status. In other cultures, like the Mexican culture, pre-colonial cultures in Mexico, they used cacao seeds as money. Money actually grew in trees for them. Yeah, it had an intrinsic value, but it also had an exchangeable value. They could buy things with it. So money started like something tangible. Yes, the evolution of money was from something that meant something, something that you could eat or use somehow, or had some kind of, you know, magical symbol like gold or silver. And then it moved into the idea of it. Nowadays, money is just what? Paper? Or blips, bits in a computer? Most of the money circulating today in the world is not even real. It's credit. Every time credit is granted, money is created. But physical money, it's just a very tiny minority. Cash, it's like, I think it's 1% of all the amount of money circulating in the world, more or less. So money is something that we believe in and has value because all of us believe on it. I remember when I was in Venezuela on my way here to the United States, the president, the dictator of Venezuela, decided that $100 bill was not to be accepted anymore, was not to be used anymore. It was going to be taken out of circulation. So all the people who had $100 bills all of a sudden found themselves with paper based on an order from the president. So in their eyes, right in front of them, something went from being useful and able to acquire things to being just a piece of paper that cannot be done anything with it. And then, because that man is a dictator in Venezuela, he just, I don't know, to laugh at his citizens, I don't know, he decided a month after or 15 days after that, no, yeah, we're going to use that 100 denominations going to be back on circulation. And people who have burned or throw away the money now realize that they have lost money. So I put this example to... For you guys to understand and see how something can be can have value and not value dependent on the belief on it and dependent on what, for example, a government says. And this has happened in other countries too. I think Indonesia had something similar where one type of bill was taken out of circulation and all of a sudden people who had that didn't have money. In Cuba happened, my country. When Castro came to power, they changed the money. They changed the physical money. So everybody who had cash stacked, they had to rush and change it into the new money because the old money was not going to be useful. And I know of somebody who had a big stash of cash that couldn't be changed because you could only change a certain amount, and they lost all their money. They had thousands, and all of a sudden they had zero because the faith in that little piece of paper that they had changed to another type of piece of paper. So these three realities are the realities that we live in. We are surrounded by them. We are not aware of them. We have to make an effort because that's how our brains work. Our brains, with this way of thinking, with this mutation that we have, doesn't realize, our little brain doesn't realize what is real, tangible, real, objective, what is real, subjective, because what I think and feel, it's real to me. I believe that it has to be real for everybody, or we have to make an effort. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to say here. We have to make a big effort to separate and understand what is objective reality, what is subjective reality, and what is intersubjective reality. The most we are surrounded by is intersubjective reality because this world in which we live, we created it. It has tangible things, but it's controlled by intersubjective realities. We have electricity, right? That's science, that's physical. But the company that runs our electricity, the money that we pay our electrical bills with, that's intersubjective. What is the company? Who is the company? It's an intersubjective reality created by law. We have a corporation created by a status, a legal status, and that corporation has rights and has they can own property, they can be subjected to the law. There's a definition of a corporation, but that's a definition that it's on paper and it's created by the law. And all those things, law, corporation, all of those things are intersubjective. We all believe in them. And that's why they exist. Electricity is objective. Money, intersubjective. So we are surrounded. We are surrounded by all these realities. This level of realities, and we sometimes have a hard time putting a name to or leveling the reality that we are experiencing. And that's normal. We have to make a real effort. We have to educate ourselves in order to understand these things. That's why some people still believe in the objectivity of certain things. I don't want to get into religious controversies. I don't want to offend anybody. However, some people are trying to impose laws and restrictions on the body of other people based on a belief, and for them that belief is real. That belief is real because it changes their whole life, but they don't understand that it's subjective, that it's not objective, and that some people don't believe in those things, and they have a right to do all the things based on the things that they believe or don't believe in. So let's wrap it up. I wanted to expose ourselves to this complexity of our thinking that will make us live in three levels of reality, that they are the objective reality, the subjective reality, and the intersubjective reality. One, it's measurable and we all agree upon, it's easier to agree upon it. The second one, it's not measurable but it's real, and it's changes from person to person. And I wanted to stress the fact that even if you don't believe in pain, you're still going to feel pain. You're going to feel more or less when you have a broken bone, but you're going to feel pain unless you take some pain medication. And the third reality is the intersubjective reality. And all these three, this intersubjective reality is the one that we create altogether, that exists only in the collective imagination, in the collective subjectivity, in the exchange of data about it, but it's not objective. And it's not, I don't want to say real, because it is real. It is real, but it has a different level of reality. And these three realities are very, very much intertwined in our lives. And we have to be aware of that, because sometimes we need to focus in objectivity, or sometimes we have to focus on subjectivity. What am I feel? Why am I feeling this? Because that's important for you to function as a human being. And the intersubjective reality that depends on all of us believing. And that one can be changed when we change our beliefs. Forms of government. Government is an intersubjective reality, and government can change based on our beliefs. We are going to talk about more about that, government and society, on our third episode. From now, thank you for listening, and please give me your feedback. Thank you, and bye.